Leviticus 16, the Day of Atonement. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, who died when they approached the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron that he is not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place, behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die. For I will appear in a cloud over the atonement cover." This is how Aaron is to enter the most holy place. He must first bring a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic with the linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash round him and put on the linen turban. These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering, to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and to present them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it. It is for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as a scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the wilderness as a scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. And he is to slaughter the bull for his own sin offering. He is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord and two handfuls of finely ground fragrant incense, and take them behind the curtain. He is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover before the tablets of the covenant law, so that he will not die. He is to take some of the bull's blood, and with his finger sprinkle it on the front of the atonement cover. Then he shall sprinkle some of it with his finger seven times before the atonement cover. He shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering, for the people, and take its blood behind the curtain, and do with it as he did with the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in front of it. In this way he will make atonement for the most holy place, because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is among them in the midst of their uncleanness. No one is to be in the tent of the meeting from the time Aaron goes in to make atonement in the most holy place until he comes out, having made atonement for himself, his household, and the whole community of Israel. Then he shall come out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. He shall take some of the bull's blood and some of the goat's blood and put it on all the horns of the altar. He shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times to cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the Israelites. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the wilderness in the care of someone appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a remote place, and the man shall release it in the wilderness. Then Aaron is to go into the tent of meeting and take off the linen garments he put on before he entered the most holy place, and he is to leave them there. He shall bathe himself with water in the sanctuary area and put on his ordinary garments. Then he shall come out and sacrifice the burnt offering for himself and the burnt offering for the people, to make atonement for himself and for the people. He shall also burn the fat of the sin offering on the altar. The man who releases the goat as a scapegoat must wash his clothes and bathe himself with water. Afterwards, he may come into the camp. The bull and the goat for the sin offerings, whose blood was brought into the most holy place to make atonement, must be taken outside the camp. Their hides, flesh, and intestines are to be burned. The man who burns them must wash his clothes and bathe himself with water. Afterwards, he may come into the camp. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you must deny yourselves and not do any work, whether native-born or a foreigner residing among you. Because on this day, atonement will be made for you, to cleanse you. Then, before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins. It is a day of Sabbath rest, and you must deny yourselves. It is a lasting ordinance. The priest who is anointed and ordained to succeed his father as high priest is to make atonement. He is to put on the sacred linen garments and make atonement for the most holy place, for the tent of meeting and the altar, and for the priests and all the members of the community. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. Atonement is to be made once a year for all the sins of the Israelites. And it was done as the Lord commanded Moses.
3-year-old Zainab Mughal requires frequent blood transfusions for cancer treatment. She lives in America. The challenge for the doctors treating Zainab is that her very rare blood type only occurs within Indian, Pakistani, or Iranian communities. So far, only 5 donors around the world have been tracked down. Professor David Irving is with the Australian Red Cross Blood Service, which has found a match for Zainab. This process has been aided by an effective system that's been established for the international tracking of blood. The blood collected from the Australian donor has been sent to Florida for use in Zainab's stem cell transplant operation. Zainab still needs more blood for further treatment, so the search for donors will not stop at 5. Professor Irving said, "We're certainly looking to diversify our blood donor pool so that we are ready for those patients like Zainab. Our Red Cell Reference Laboratory researchers are working hard to make sure they get the best match for all the patients who are in need of red blood cell transfusion." Well, as you've already seen this evening, we're looking at the importance of blood in the Bible. We are, in a sense, terminally ill and require a unique blood donor, who is Jesus. The blood of the sinless Son of God is the perfect match for us. And once we've received him, there's no need for further transfusions. The shedding of Jesus' blood on the cross atones for the sins of God's people throughout history. And what we're looking at this evening is the Old Testament background to the shedding of Jesus' blood on the cross. The problem is seen in verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the 2 sons of Aaron. And what had they done wrong? They approached the Lord. They approached the Lord and they died. Sinful people cannot approach the holy God. God's holiness burns up our sinfulness. There's no way a sinful person can come into God's heaven. And as a demonstration of this, there was no way sinful people could just wander into the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Remember, the tabernacle was the tent which Israel used before they built the temple. You couldn't just wander into the tabernacle. You certainly couldn't go into the holy place where God's presence was symbolized. Only the high priest could go into the holy place. And he, only once a year, having made special sacrifices for sin. So, this evening, how can a sinful person come into God's presence? That's a crucial question, isn't it? For each one of us, because we are all sinful people. Well, two headings for you. They're on the sheets on your tables. Christ foreshadowed and Christ fulfilled. And we see here how sinful people can come into the holy presence of God. So Christ foreshadowed. This chapter is a picture of Jesus' death on the cross. It's called the Day of Atonement. The day when the nation's sins are atoned for. Verse 1. The Lord speaks to Moses after these two sons of Aaron have been killed for approaching God. Aaron, of course, was Moses' brother and the high priest. Verse 2, the Lord said to Moses, tell your brother, Aaron, that he is not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place, behind the curtain, in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die. For I will appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. The holy presence of God is lethal to sinful people. This, verse 3, is how Aaron is to enter the most holy place. He must bring a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. So Moses, Aaron rather, must sacrifice animals to atone for, to pay for his own sin. He can't be the high priest. He can't represent the people to God unless his own sin is atoned for. He has to wear special and simple clothes, which emphasized that he was just an ordinary person. Verse 4. The sacred linen tunic, linen undergarments, a linen sash around him, a linen turban. These are sacred garments, verse 4, but simple garments. Aaron has to bathe before he puts them on. He has to be clean to go into God's presence. Then verse 5, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Verse 6, he is to offer the bull for his own sin. He is to take the two goats, verse 7, and present them before the Lord. He is to cast lots for the goats, verse 8, one lot for the Lord, one lot for the scapegoat. The goat whose lot falls to the Lord, verse 9, shall be sacrificed as a sin offering. Verse 10, the goat chosen as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the wilderness. So do you get the picture? As the high priest, Aaron has to make a sacrifice for his own sin, then he sacrifices one goat for the sins of the people, and the other goat is sent far away to symbolize the people's sin being carried far away. There's a hymn which my family would not allow me to sing because it's too old-fashioned. But it contains the words, living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried He carried my sins far away. The hymn writer is saying that Jesus fulfills both these goats. He dies like the first goat dies. He pays for our sin. Then he carries our sin far away, like the second goat carries our sin far away. Well, verse 11, as we've said, Aaron must bring the bull, sacrifice it for his own sin offering. There is to be plenty of incense, verse 12. The purpose of the incense is to conceal the atonement cover of the Ark of the Covenant. I don't know if you've ever seen Raiders of the Lost Ark. Everyone of my generation watched it. The story is that Indiana Jones is searching for the lost Ark of the Covenant. When they finally find it, the lid is taken off by Indiana Jones' enemies, and they're all killed. Rather stupidly, Indiana Jones and his girlfriend survive because they keep their eyes shut. Well, just keeping your eyes shut wouldn't have saved Aaron. God is holy. The ark is holy. Therefore, Aaron's sin must be atoned for. And he must not see the ark. There must be a smoky cloud. Verse 14, he must take the bull's blood and sprinkle it in front of the atonement cover. He must do this 7 times. Then he slaughters the goat for the sins of the people. He takes its blood behind the curtain into the holy place, and he sprinkles the goat's blood on the atonement cover and in front of it. In this way, verse 16, he makes atonement for the most holy place. He does the same thing with the whole tent of meeting, the tabernacle. No one is allowed to go with Aaron, verse 17, into the tent of meeting. Then Aaron has to make atonement for the altar. He has to make atonement for the whole tent. Verse 21, he lays his hands on the live goat. He confesses over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and puts them on the goat's head. And so, as we said earlier, the scapegoat will carry the sins far, far away. After all this, Aaron must take off his special clothes, bathe himself again, make another burnt offering for himself and one for the people. Even the fat of the offerings must be burnt up. The man who takes the goat out into the wilderness as the scapegoat, well, his sin is a problem too. He must wash his clothes and bathe himself. The bull, verse 27, and the goat must be burnt completely outside the camp. In other words, the contamination, the sin, must be taken away outside the camp. Verse 28, the man who burns them must wash his clothes and bathe himself before coming back into the camp. All of this must be done once a year. In this way, verse 30, they will be clean from their sins. Phew! But how long does it last? It doesn't last. This is a temporary solution. They carry on in their sin. So there is Christ foreshadowed. Now, secondly, Christ fulfilled. All of this is a picture of what Jesus achieves on the cross. I want to show you two groups of verses. Matthew 27, verse 51. At that moment, the curtain of the temple, remember the temple replaces the tabernacle, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. This, of course, this moment is when Jesus dies on the cross. For Aaron, he had to go through multiple sacrifices. He had to be wearing the right clothes. He could only come in once a year. There was a no entry sign into God's presence. When Jesus died, the curtain of the most holy place was torn in two from top to bottom. It couldn't have been man's work. It was God's work. He tore it from top to bottom. It was the thickness of a man's hand. And this was saying, whereas in the Old Testament, God was saying, keep out, you're too sinful. If you walk into my presence, you will die. Now God is saying, because Jesus has died on the cross to pay for all your sin, you can come in. Come in to my presence. Isn't that wonderful? And then some verses from Hebrews 9 and 10. 9:11. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here. So Jesus replaces Aaron as the high priest. He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. In other words, Jesus opened the way to heaven, not just the most holy place. Verse 12, he did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, so obtaining eternal redemption. Jesus' blood shed on the cross replaces the bulls and goats of Old Testament sacrifice. And it never needs to be repeated. Chapter 9, 27 and 28. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. Jesus was sacrificed once and for all for our sin. 10:1. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Rather, 10:10, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ once for all. Where does this leave us? Number one, don't recreate the Old Testament. Much Christianity recreates the Old Testament with altars, sacrifices, and priests. day after day, the sacrifice of the Mass is offered. In Catholic thought, the death of Jesus is re-presented to the Father as a sacrifice for sin. Even some evangelical thought forgets what Christ has achieved. We think, I'm too sinful now. I've sinned too badly. God won't want me. And Jesus' death on the cross says to us, we don't have to go through rituals. We don't need to wear special clothes. We don't need to go to a special building. Jesus' death is sufficient. If we say sorry for our sin, turn away from our sin, trust in Jesus, trust that his death on the cross pays for all our sin. If we trust him like that, we are clean. We are clean. Even if we've messed up today, objectively, in God's sight, if we're in Christ, we are clean. We are forgiven. We are welcomed into God's presence. What we see in the Day of Atonement, the foreshadowing and the fulfillment, is total assurance of salvation for the believer. Total assurance. Every Christian here tonight should be totally assured that when they go to bed tonight, they are absolutely clean and accepted in God's presence. They call it the born-again beach. Here's how a British newspaper described the rebirth of a lost beach. It's an Irish beach that disappeared more than 30 years ago, and it's returned. It's an island off the County Mayo coast. The sand at, I don't know if it's pronounced Duar, it looks like it's written Duar, and I pronounce it, Achill Island, was washed away by storms in 1984, leaving only rocks and rock pools. But after a freak tide around Easter last year, hundreds of tons of sand were deposited around the area where the beach once stood, recreating the old 300-meter stretch of golden sand. Local people are using the word miraculous to describe the beach's renewal. An official for the area's tourism board explained why pilgrims are flocking to the site. We live in a dark world these days, so I think that is why there's been so much interest in Duar Beach since the story broke. For something like our beach to come back gives people hope. It's a good news story, and one where nature has done something benign for a change. If you've trusted in Jesus, you're like that beach. Completely clean, completely new. The gospel is so simple, isn't it? All you have to do is make Jesus your king and accept what he's done for you on the cross. Then you can go right into the most holy place. You can go into God's presence tonight and enjoy him.